And I want to bring a simple thought this evening for the book of Revelations, the second chapter. I want to read just the first seven verses here, and we're just really going to focus on the fourth verse. John gave us these words, the words of Christ. He said, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted." And in verse 4 it says, "Nevertheless I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But thou hast, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcome will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to stand here in your pulpit, Lord, this evening in the absence of Brother Vinoy. I pray that you'll be with him, and Miss Eve, you'll just bring him back, Lord, to great health just so quickly. And Lord, I thank you for the message you've laid on my heart. It's not what I had planned on this week as I prepared, but I think it's the message you'd have us to have this evening, particularly with all the comments, Lord, here preceding the service. And I pray, God, that you'll just touch the service this evening. These are your faithful children, these that love you so much here gathered tonight. And I just pray that something will be said that would challenge each one of us. Something would be said that would encourage each one of us. Lord, that we go out of here this evening with just a greater desire to be the people that you would have us to be, the people you've called us to be. Lord, give us clarity and thought and speech, we pray, in your blessed name. Amen. And I want to bring a simple message this evening from the fourth verse. And I want to talk about the church's love. The church's love. And Christ had spoke through John to this church at Ephesus. And when you begin to look at the church at Ephesus, it was a very special place. It was a place that Paul had multiple revivals. He had planted a great church there. It was on the western side of Asia. It was a city that was just steeped in idolatry. There were huge temples built to the Princess Diana. It was a tough place to minister. But Paul had been very successful in planting the church there. John had been a pastor there. Timothy had been a pastor there. And the word of God had went forward to these people who lived there in this difficult, adulterous, evil, wicked surroundings. But they loved the Lord. And they had loved the Lord in such a way that it was encouraged. And when we go back and read the book of Ephesus, and when we begin to read the book of Acts, and you see that God had worked richly in the hearts of these people that they might be saved, that they might have sound doctrine, that they might have a spiritual fellowship, that they might know the way that God would have them to be. And they began to walk in that way. And yet there was a day when Christ himself rebuked them, as it were. He made them aware that they weren't where they had started off. And as I thought about this today, I was doing a lot of driving yesterday and today. Really didn't have this thought until this morning. I was going a different way with this evening's service until I just couldn't get any peace about it until this morning. But I thought about the aspect of love. And if you were to look at your own life, I want you to think about something that you love very dearly. Now, a few months ago, I had to travel overseas, and you never know how that's going to go. And I was kind of kidding with Cindy a little bit, but I told her, I said, if I don't make it back, I'm going to leave a post-it note. I did. I said, Logan gets this. Cody gets this. Chloe gets everything. You know, I mean, you know, she gets, the boys get what she doesn't want. But no, I even had my old beat-up pickup truck on there, Brother John. I said, now my dear friend, Ryan Neal gets the pickup truck if he wants it. And that was real iffy. But I thought about this as Cindy and I were talking, and literally I was going overseas and I didn't expect to have a lot of trouble. But I told Cindy, I said, I really don't have many possessions, Brother Ralph, that I love. Now, I've got things, you all have things, what have you, but they really are not the focus of my life. If my car doesn't start, you know, that's not the end of the day for me. But there are some things I love in this life. I love my wife, and, you know, we just had our anniversary. And I tell you what, God has blessed me with a great wife. God has blessed many of you with a great wife. If you're real smart, I'll hear you say amen. There we go. Right. That was an IQ check. All right. And if they're not here, it's okay. We'll get back to them. It's a blessing. God has blessed me with children that I love. And in fact, there's really only about five things on this earth that really matter to me. And that's my wife and my three children. And my daughter-in-law, she's very precious to me. And I've got family beyond that. And I've got friends. But there's only a few things that really take center. But I'm going to tell you that when we begin to look at the things we love on earth, it ought to be our family. It ought to be the people around us. But we ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, all of our essence, with all of our soul. We ought to be committed to Him. And can you go back to the day in your life when you fell in love with the Lord Jesus Christ? I can go back to the time when Cindy and I first began to date. I can go back to the place where we held Logan for the first time, and where Cody and Chloe were born, and I can take you to those places, but I can take you even further back to the time when I made peace with the Lord Jesus Christ and got saved according to His Word, and that love relationship began. And for most of us, particularly those of us who've been saved for a long time, sometimes we forget what it is a great wonder to have a Savior who loves us, and the opportunity to love Him back so greatly. If you begin to look at this idea of love, we think about love, and I think that we become known for what we love. I think that the things that become priorities for our life become the things that the people around us begin to recognize. In fact, the definition of love is it's defined as a strong affection, a strong interest, a strong desire. And when we begin to have a love for something, whether it's the person, whether it's the church, whether it's the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's antique cars, whatever it is, people around us begin to see that love begins to drive our actions. Yep. Now, we're not saved by our works, but our love for the Lord Jesus Christ ought to have some purpose and some action. It ought to take us out of our comfortable places and take us to the place where God can do something with us. Amen. Tomorrow is the National Day of Prayer. And I hope that all of us will take a few minutes to be a witness. And if you work in a place where they have a common gathering, or that they get together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and exalt Him and pray, I hope that you'll seek the opportunity to be a part of that. And I'll be a part of a small group, and we'll gather as we have for many years at the little flagpole just outside of one of the main buildings, and we'll pray. And it's very exciting, Brother Ralph, in that several weeks ago, people were reaching out saying, you know, Steve, are we going to gather this year? Are we going to get together? Why? Because they want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and be a blessing and pray and thank God for His goodness upon us. Our love drives our actions. To be seen as a witness, to be a part of a living church, to read God's Word, to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ and be part of this. Our love defines our actions. Our love also often defines where our tolerances, where our preferences are, the things that we hold most important in life. I think it's interesting that as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to these people at the church at Ephesus, they had done so well, they'd gotten started so well, but they had fallen back, as it were. Jesus in verse 4 said, "Nevertheless, I have something against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Now, I want to point out this evening that I'm a firm believer in eternal salvation. And I don't believe that you can walk away from your salvation. I believe that once you get saved, you want to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and it becomes a permanent part of your life. But we do live in a world around us today where people will walk away from the love that they have for the church. We see families broken in the world around us today because people walk away from that person they went to an altar with at some time previously and made a commitment for a lifetime together. And they got to the point where they said, "I don't want to love you anymore." And they walk away. And we see them bringing that into the church. And Jesus said that you aren't in love with me the way that you previously were. You've left your first love. And he goes on, he said, "Remember, therefore, hence they are fallen, and repent and do the first works." Go back to those things that you were doing before you left, obviously, this love that you had for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think that you cannot walk away, you cannot leave your salvation, but you can leave the strongness of that love that defines us. Isn't it amazing here that Jesus went on and he encouraged this church, and he talked in verse 6 about people who had bad doctrine. He said, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate. If you begin to look up this doctrine of who were these people that God himself said he was against, they were people who were Gnostic in their beliefs. They believed that you could be saved and under the redemptive power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet because all your sins were forgiven, you could live a wild, wicked, adulterous, sinful life. God himself said that he was opposed to that, that it was repulsive to him. Hey, do you see that in the world around us today? We really do. And I talk with the group in Sure Foundations, and I tell them that, you know, we're not a church that is, quote, a holiness church, but we're a church that understands what's right. And we expect people like God does to live in what we know to be right, according to the Word of God. And when Christ himself spoke to these folks, he said, listen, you got it right in that these Nicolaitans, they're in an abominable doctrine, as it were. And I hate them with you. But you got to get back to the point where the love for me is so strong. The love for me defines your actions and what you're going to do. I want you to turn back a couple of pages to the epistle of 2 John. So 2 John, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here because John had something to say that goes along very well with this message that Christ had given him. And when we look at 2 John, we read a couple of verses here, very short little chapter of the Bible, and John wrote this beginning at verse 1. He said, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, shall be with us forever." And we scroll down to the sixth verse, and 6, 7, and 8, it says, "And this is love, that we walk after his commandments," after God's commandments, after the way that Christ has called us to walk. "And this is the commandment, that as you've heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and this is the deceiver and an antichrist. But look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, for which we have a full reward." You see, when we begin to talk about the love of God, and Christ said that you left somewhat your first love, and we think about the church's love, it's got to be placed in accordance to God's word. God has given this wonderful book to us that we might know the mind of God, at least partially, and the direction that he's put for us in the world around us today. I think it's amazing. And as I mentioned, Cindy and I just recently had an anniversary. And I thought back to the early years when we were married and we lived in a little house there in Cooks Valley. And there was a day when Cindy called me and I was at work. And we were like most young couples. And, we were paying for this and paying for that and paying for this. And Cindy called me. She said, "Hey, Steve," she said, "I just heard this thing on the radio, and it's this guy named Larry Burkett, and he's got a book out on Bible-based budgeting and what the Bible has to say about finances and that kind of thing." And Carol and Wayne are laughing, but I had not been exposed to it. And Brother Ralph, I said, okay, this was in the morning. I said, "I'll go at lunch," and I went to Moody's Bible Bookstore at lunch, and I went in, and I knew Glenn, and I found the book, and he found it for me, and I said, "I'll take it." And we went to the cash register, and I pulled out a credit card. And he said, "That's really not the way it works. You really need this book." And if you read the book, you'd understand why. You know, credit is looked at as a bad thing. But at that point, we began to say, how complete is the Word of God? It'll teach you about budgeting. That God in his word teaches about the organization of the church. It teaches us, Brother Coulter, about the preaching of the word and with Brother Vinoy, how to encourage a church and how to be the thing a pastor has been called to be. And it teaches us about relationships, and it teaches us about how to be a good employee, and it teaches us so many things. But you see, love has got to be practiced with the word of God. They're not separated. And I had a chance to talk with a dear friend recently, and they were talking about a difficult situation, they were talking about a difficulty that they had and about how much they cared in a certain way, but the things they cared about were not lining up with God's word. And I want you to hear this if you don't hear anything else this evening. When we begin to look at what John said here in the second chapter of the book of John, and he said that he writes unto the children whom I love in the truth. If you don't hear anything else from me this evening, I hope you'll hear this, that when truth, God's truth and love come into conflict, then God's word must always prevail. God's word must always be dominant over the emotions that we might have, over the personal attachments that we might have. Why? Because only in truth will you find God's absolute will. I think about the situation with the prodigal son who walked away from his father, walked away from his brother, walked away from those who cared for him, and he turned his back, as it were, on the truth of his father's love. There's so many times we want to be a comfort to people, and we want to do what's right, but it's got to be right according to God's word. I see a lot of situations in the churches around us today where people have went so far in the idea of being loving to those that were around them that they have denied the truth of the word of God. Very difficult to be a pastor in the world around us today. Very difficult, I'm sure it was, to be a pastor here at Ephesus with the world that was around them. But we must love the things that God has called us to love. And as he said here, we need to align with those things we oppose with the things that he opposes. And when love and truth are in conflict, then truth must prevail and be dominant. Yes, we must love, but our actions must always align with the salvation of those around us, with the righteousness that God has called us, as it were, to practice. We'll turn there. But in the third epistle of John, the 11th verse, John called out the church to walk differently from the world and to avoid the wickedness that we see in the world around us today. Jesus told the church that we were to be the salt in the world, that we were to be the light in the darkness, that we were to be different, not to be self-righteous, not to be cold, not to be judgmental and those type things, but to be called what God would have us to be. And there's a time when love can reach the soul. There's a time where you have to be tough. But we can't leave behind the things that God has called us to do. We've got to love God's word. We've got to love his precepts. The church has got to be built upon the Bible, upon preaching, upon teaching, upon reaching out to others, and welcoming them to come in, to be a part of God's kingdom, to be a part of what God has called us to be according to his word. That's the truth. We see churches split today over the aspect of lining up with God's word. We see homes wrecked today because the spouses can't line up with God's word. We need to love God supremely. And when we get his love right in our life, as it would have been in this church, then the other things begin to fall into place. I think this evening about what a wonderful Savior that we have. I got to brag on the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about this. There's not a person on this earth that will ever do anything near for you what Christ has already done. You might have a good friend who, if you were in a financial situation, would be able to loan you some money. You might have someone that if you were in an injury, they could donate some blood to you, and maybe it would help save your life. Or maybe somebody's very talented, and they would be able to perform a surgery operation and take away some cancer or something you have. All those are great things. But you'll never have a friend like the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the price for you on Calvary that no dollar bill could ever touch. He's been a friend that sticketh close than a brother. And in those most difficult days, he's the one that we can call out to, knowing that the circumstances of life may or may not change, but he cares. And we can cast all of our care upon him because he cares for us. I think about how worthy the Lord Jesus Christ is to be loved. He's the author of love. He is the supreme sacrifice that was given for us. And when we think about the devotion that we should place to him, it can be absolutely second to none. I think sometimes with the best of interest, the best of intentions, we try to do things in love that Christ himself wants to do through the Holy Spirit, through the preaching of the word. We want people to be saved, but we can't coax them to the altar. They've got to come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, recognizing that Christ is the only atonement for sin that's recognized by God the Father. Amen. Christ is so worthy. I just wish that we could be more like him, our Savior, our friend, our ever-present help. If we could be that kind of a witness in the world around us today, what a blessing that would be to those that we come into contact with. I think about how good the church is and the blessings that we have. And when we were at Still Creek, we had I told you this, and they know this, that when we went to the little church on the hill, we initially weren't sure if it was a small church with a big food pantry attached to it, or if it was a big food pantry with a small church attached to it. But the folks in that church wanted to reach out. They had so little, Brother Ralph, and Brother Wayne and Miss Carol came and helped us. You don't understand, you know, what a small church does just to function. They had so little, Brother Wayne, but you saw month after month how they wanted to reach out to the community, to be a blessing to others, to give food, to give encouragement, to have people come in and hear the Word of God. And I commend them for that. It was a great blessing to be a part of that. The love that they had for the community around us said, we're going to do without what we could use ourselves, that we might use it to present the gospel message to a lost and dying world. Now think about some of the characteristics that perhaps we ought to have as the church, the things that the church should love, as it were, in the world around us today. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's at the center of everything that we do. If you went back to the Wednesday Night Warriors, to the little lady who's in the wheelchair with the oxygen, and you asked her, what is the central focus of Wednesday Night Warriors? I believe every one of those children would tell you to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got Vacation Bible School coming up, and I believe it's The Faithful Follower. I think that's the title that he's come up with. And you think about how that Christ is the center of all that will be done. Our love in this church for the Lord Jesus Christ cannot go unnoticed. Amen. Mr. Nita, we have the church Christmas play that you preside over, and everything that's done there is that Christ might be glorified, that people might understand who he is. Christ, the supremacy of God, the holiness of his work is manifest in all that we do. We love the Lord Jesus Christ, and it comes out there. We need to love his word. The Bible ought to be the center of everything that we do here. Thus saith the Lord. And we ought to be challenged to learn more about it, to hide it in our heart, that we might go forward, that we might share it with the people that are around us today. I think about how God has called us in our love to be his servants and to be his children and to love those that are around us. You know, one of the downfalls, as it were, of Christ in the world around him, when he walked upon the earth, he was called a friend of sinners. He was called a man who was not careful about who he associated with. He loved everybody. He loved the leper. He loved the Pharisees who rejected him. He loved the adulterous woman who was taken in sin and saw to it that she was not executed on that day. He talked to the Samaritan woman at the well in such a way that she was shocked. She even self-identified, "Do you know who I am?" relatively is what she was saying. The church ought to love the people in the world around us today as Christ has set the example. This world around us today is filled with hatred. You believe that? Watch the news. Double park someplace. You know, try to break into traffic when somebody's in front of you. This world has a natural gravity towards hatred. But the church and the people of the church ought to be the best ones who exemplify love. It's interesting that I try to listen very closely to Brother Vinoy. It was a few weeks ago. He was talking about the things that we do to exemplify the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know if y'all remember this or not. He said, we ought to be the people, I'm paraphrasing, that when we go to the grocery store, And we've got somebody that's got just a few things around us, we ought to be the ones who say, why don't you go in front of me, and I'll wait. It's amazing, Brother Ralph, as I travel, how many people will try to be a witness by saying, sir, may God bless you this day. They're not looking for a tip. They're trying to show me they love the Lord, that Christ has something, that God has touched them in such a way. And our words, our deeds, the actions, they ought to drive people to understand that we've got something inside of us that they would want to have in their life. If we love His church, we love His word, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the people that are around us, do unto others as we would have them do unto us, I think His work gets easier. Wow, what a great ministry this church has. From the least to the greatest. There's such a great work that's being done here. It's just a privilege to be a very, very small part of it for any of us in any capacity. I think about the people that come, and as Brother John was saying, I appreciated that so much, the people who raise their hand. They're saying, yes, I'm under conviction, and I know the Lord's dealing with me. I know I need to be saved. I just pray, God, that God will be able to finish that work that He started in the heart of that young person. Then we see the little one, Maggie, come forward and got saved, and we see the hearts that are touched and the people that come to the altar and pray sincerely that God would work in their lives. The people here, they don't do that stuff because it's, they don't teach the classes because it's of some meritorious value. I think they do it because they love the Lord. And when we begin to think about what ought to be in our heart, because we are the living church, the aspects of mercy towards those who don't deserve it, being gracious and showing grace to our enemies, kindness when we could show anger, standing always in the truth, and having a burden for souls. Those things will help us a whole lot. I had a chance today to visit a customer, and I saw a man there I didn't expect to see. I was in the lobby waiting to come in, waiting on my appointment, and he came through. And he was very polite to me, and we had a pleasant conversation. And I went to see the guy I normally see, and we had a lengthy conversation. And most of y'all wouldn't know this. Cindy knows the entirety of it. March was not a good month. And there was a time in March when a particular thing happened, and there was a lot of resentment around it. And I didn't do it, but I ended up, Brother Ralph, getting the brunt of the lightning storm that hit. And I really wondered about how it was going to work out. And I've got a great boss, and he's a tremendous Christian. And it was one of those things, Miss Shelby, when all this hit, and there was some nastiness that went in place that was directed at me, my boss came to me and said, Steve, this is one of those times where you're going to have to turn the other cheek. Not always easy, is it? But don't people recognize the love that we have for Christ when we're under the most pressure? When it's so easy to strike back? When it's so easy, as James would say, this tongue that none of us really have control over, to just unleash it and just cut them to the ground for the nasty things that they do to your family? You ever run into somebody and they just are filled with vileness and wickedness and reproach, and there is no loveliness, no attractiveness in their words about them? Do you know it's amazing that Christ has called us to show love and consideration even to those people? Not always easy, but expected to do even when it's not easy. Folks, I tell you what, the words of John here, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ is captured by John. John looked at Jesus looked at the church. He said, I know thy works, I know thy labor, I know thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And they were commended for the great things they'd done. But Christ went on and said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Whatever their first priorities were, whatever it was that God had put them originally on the track of, maybe they weren't far off track. But they were off track enough that Christ called them out, told them to repent, told them that they ought to come to know Him before He took other actions in their life. Well, church, I think that's where we're at today. I remember when I first got saved. I remember the love I had for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember not being saved too long and being off in Central North Carolina, and I was in Bible college and going out, knocking on doors. Still 38 years later, still knocking on doors, different set of doors, trying to tell people to come in and be a part of the family of God before it was eternally too late. You don't do that for reward. You do that because you love people, because you love Christ. You want to see other people have what he's given so freely to each one of us. So church, my challenge to us tonight would be to think about our lives. Are we focused on that love relationship where Christ is supreme, where his word matters most, where we'd rather be in church than be in some fine restaurant? We'd rather be studying in the word of God than in some, you know, exciting type of activity. That we'd rather be faithful than anything else that we know. And what about the love that God's put in our life? Each person that's here today has a talent. And our talents are very different. There are people here today who can build things. Others cannot. There are people here today who are super talented when it comes to music and when it comes to being able to do those things that touch people's hearts. There are people here today who preach. People here today whose gift is to teach, to work with the children. And by the way, myself, like most men, God didn't call me to work with the infants. And you'll understand that. Don't have the patience. Wasn't wired up for it. But I got a wife who can. But God's called each one of us and put a love in our heart and the talent to go with it to do something meaningful for the kingdom of God before it's eternally too late. I started the message this evening with a prayer request for my friend Gloria. And Gloria and her husband Larry have just been such a great blessing to us. I mean, when we first got started, the little church, it was we went in and it was not like any independent Baptist church we'd ever seen before, ever. But we loved the people, and it was great. It just was different in a lot of ways. Gloria helped us to find our footing there and to be an encouragement as we went through through that introductory. Every church is a little different. She loved us, and she cared for us. And I just pray that God will put it in your heart that you might love somebody, that you might care for somebody, one of the little ones out here, somebody in the pew next to you, somebody in your family, that you'll care about them the way that Christ has encouraged us to do. Would you pray with me this evening? Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to share this simple message this evening. Some things that the church should love, and the church is love itself, Lord. What a great work this church was doing, I believe, in Ephesus. But Lord, they've gotten a bit off track. How easy it is for each one of us to be busy, but not necessarily doing the things that call attention and bring the gospel message to those that are around us. Lord, we're really, truly preaching to the congregation tonight. That is the choir. That is the teachers. Lord, that is the people that go in and outreach. Lord, the those that are the pillars of the community when it comes to the things of Christ. But God, I do ask you to help each one of us to consider, are we doing the things that you've called us to do? And are we doing them to the best of our ability? Lord, we just love you. Lord, we just ask you to be with us. Lord, we'd ask you to use this church. God, I look at the days around us, I think just how much longer until Christ comes to take his church out and the devil just has everything that's left. God, one day there'll be one last person who's saved. Maybe they're on this continent, maybe they're in South America, maybe they're in Russia, I don't know. But help us, Lord, to be busy about the things you've called us to do and loving your work, loving your word, and loving our Savior supremely until that day when you come to take us home. Lord, watch over us and guide us and lead us in all things till we come together again on Sunday morning, we pray. Amen.